Turn with me again, please, to the book of the Proverbs, where we shall read four brief passages from the first four chapters, beginning in chapter 1 at verse 10. The book of Proverbs, chapter 1 at verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood, they lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. And then in the second chapter, at verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God, for her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. And then in chapter 3, at verse 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbour, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbour, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he hath done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. And then in chapter 4, at verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And may the Lord bless to us the public reading of his own word and grant us an understanding of it. Amen. We are presently considering the opening chapters of the book of Proverbs, which act as a preface to that which will follow. These first nine chapters are written in a more narrative and discursive style, and set the scene for those, what we might say, more pithy or concise proverbs which follow from chapter 10 onwards. And we have looked at certain of the fundamental principles which are established in these opening chapters, particularly regarding the purpose of the book, regarding the fear of the Lord, and last time, looking at the second part of verse 7, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Indeed, this seventh verse of chapter 1, which stands almost as the first of the Proverbs proper, follows a particular format, having a positive and negative clause. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And we spent some time considering how the Word of God presents this balance of truth and doctrine. There is that taught us positively by injunction, and that which is taught us negatively by forbidding. There is that which is prescriptive and that which is proscriptive, and there is a perfect balance between these things in the Word of God, a balance which needs to be reflected in our own teaching and preaching, a balance which, alas, is neglected in many modern pulpits of the day. The fact is, there are two sides to this truth. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But as that second part might otherwise be interpreted, the denial of the Lord is the beginning of folly. Because the expression fool is to be found many, many times in the book of Proverbs. And we looked at this word in more detail to see what it meant, and from its New Testament uses, saw that it is very different from the way which we perhaps understand it in modern English usage. For it is possible for a man to be a competent businessman, to be, for example, in the Gospel of Luke, a very prosperous agriculturalist, to appear to be making very sensible decisions and taking action of a highly practical nature in life, and yet at the same time to be a fool. We saw that the word is very strong in Scripture, hence the forbidding of the use of it in that biblical sense in Matthew's Gospel, because as the Psalms perhaps most succinctly teach us, the fool is one who says in his heart, there is no God. A fool is one whose wisdom, if it may be called wisdom, is founded on some other foundation than the being and the commandments of God. And as such, all his wisdom and learning is, alas, folly. And we learned more concerning these persons from various verses in the Proverbs. We saw that they are numerous, that they are very often in exalted positions, that they delight in their folly, that they are antagonists against the people of God. And yet we saw also something of the end which is theirs, by contrast with the end that belongs to the people of God, and the means whereby one may be turned from folly to wisdom. Now, in our study this evening, I would like us to see another fundamental principle which we need to establish before making progress in the book of Proverbs. It is a principle which is repeated many times in these opening 9 chapters, and particularly in those passages which we have read together. And put simply, or put succinctly, it is simply this: the connection between wisdom and behavior, or similarly, the connection between folly and behavior. When we talk about wisdom particularly, it is perhaps easy to fall into the trap of thinking that it is something which exists primarily or even exclusively in the mind, that it is a intellectual or psychological thing to have, and that it belongs to the powers of reason, and there alone. But a principle that we will see established throughout the book of Proverbs is this: that if wisdom is present in the heart, then it will have consequences in our practice and behavior. Or similarly, if folly is present in the heart, then this too will be outworked, will make itself manifest in our behavior and in our practice. Now, this is a principle which is established not only in the book of Proverbs, but is also reiterated or more expressly stated by our Lord in the Gospels. For example, let me bring to you some well-known words of the Gospel of Matthew, where we are told, amongst other things, that out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Or, for example, in chapter 6, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? The eye there is being used to mean the power of perception or of understanding, the way by which we see not so much natural objects, but the way by which we see abstract principles or indeed spiritual truth. If our eye, if our perception, if our understanding be single, be founded upon God, then we are told our whole body, the whole course of our lives, our practice, will be full of light. But if that perception, if that eye be evil, be dulled, be dimmed, then our whole body shall be full of darkness. And if this be the case, if where truth and wisdom should reside, darkness is present, how great is that darkness? That which we perceive and understand directs our behaviour and our conduct. The Lord takes up a similar theme in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. And here you remember the Pharisees who were sticklers for outward observances and laws of a practical nature were of the belief that a person was made unclean by that which they touched or ate externally. But the Lord says this in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 16. Jesus said, "Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." That which is in the heart, motivating what comes out of the mouth and what is done at a practical level. That which is within, be it of wisdom, of folly, be it of belief or unbelief, will direct the way in which we act or behave. The wisdom, or indeed the folly, which we read of in the book of Proverbs, does not reside solely in the mind or even in the heart. It will always and ever have practical manifestations and will be evidenced in the conduct of our lives. The fool is in denial of God, and this will manifest itself in his behavior. It will be seen in his conduct. And we have read various examples of this in those passages which we considered. If they say, chapter 1, verse 11, "Come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse." This is one example of the behavior and conduct of those who have not that spiritual wisdom in their lives. Again, in chapter 2, we read of the evil man. "He speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths." And lest we think that this behavior, this conduct inspired by what we might call spiritual folly, is restricted only to men, The speaker of the Proverbs goes on to say, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Men and women alike are capable of sin and conduct of this wicked nature on account of that folly which is within. Chapter 4 spoke also of the way of the wicked in verse 19. They sleep not except they have done mischief. Their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. These are the characteristics, these are the ways of them who are possessed not of spiritual wisdom, but of its very opposite, of folly. Now, in reading some of these statements and in hearing some of these descriptions, we might think, well, are not these rather extreme cases? Reading of those who appear to be planning murderous activities of robbery and theft and violence and the inflicting of bodily harm. Yes, these things are perhaps extreme examples. But notice what else is embraced. The evil man that speaketh froward things, impertinent things, boldly blasphemous things, who gives vent to their denial of God and expresses it with the mouth. Oh, my friends, there are many unbelievers who would not descend, as they would see it, to criminal activities and to wickedness of the kind described in those verses in chapter 1, but to speak froward things, to mock at religion, to denounce the God whom they deny, and those who seek to serve the God whom they deny. Why, this is all too common. And also included here, you see, is the leaving of the paths of rightness, of uprightness. It is not simply sins of commission that are here in view, but sins of omission. To have departed from the right way. Who rejoice to do evil, who do wrong, who do that which is contrary to the word of God, and rather than seeing any sin in it, are pleased to do it. And if not then in themselves, who delight in the frowardness of the wicked. There are things which perhaps they would not indulge themselves, would not commit themselves, but at the same time they will certainly not condemn it in others. Perhaps they might even praise it or commend it in others. And suddenly we find that these descriptions are much broader and more widely embracing than originally appeared. Or indeed, the strange woman described in these verses which end chapter 2. Yes, we might follow the passage to its logical conclusion and see here loose living and impropriety or even prostitution described, but also included here is flattery, is a forsaking, or indeed a forgetting of God and his word. These sins likewise included. This is the way of the wicked. This is the behavior of one in whose heart is an absence of spiritual wisdom and an abundance of spiritual folly. This is the nature of the worldling. In their heart, there is an absence of the knowledge of God. There is an absence of belief in God. There is perhaps the presence of a denial and rejection of God. And that mindset must inevitably affect their behavior. It cannot be otherwise. Even those who seem to be morally upright, who live good lives, as they would readily tell us, are yet motivated in whatever apparent good they do by some principle other than obedience to God. And to go about being morally upright, being outwardly righteous, whilst inwardly denying God, is to no purpose, is to no use, is to no spiritual benefit, because they have departed from the paths of uprightness. They have forgotten God. They have forsaken God. Even the good which they do is turned to evil, for it is motivated by false reason, and is devoid of any thought of God. But if folly in the heart affects the behavior in one direction, then there is a further principle to be established, namely that spiritual wisdom must affect the life in another direction. And this too we see set forth in those passages which we have read. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Chapter 3, my son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. And also here in chapter 4, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Spiritual wisdom imparted to the heart will indeed must manifest itself in behavior and conduct, in the way in which we lead our lives. This is the vital principle. By their fruit ye shall know them, says the Lord, again to quote the gospel equivalent of this principle. Having been made trees of the Lord's planting, we must inevitably bear fruit according to our kind. And that spiritual wisdom imparted to the heart must manifest itself in the way in which we lead our lives. The wisdom and the folly of which we read in the book of Proverbs is intensely practical. It does not exist in theory only, in the heart and mind only. It is manifested in the life in a myriad practical ways. Now, in these passages which we have read, I wonder if you noticed another recurring theme, namely that all the persons here described and portrayed for us in these passages are described as being, as it were, on a journey, on a path. This has been repeated many times. I bring to you the examples again of chapter 1, verse 15. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. Again, in chapter 2, we read of the paths of uprightness. In verse 13, the ways of darkness. Verse 15, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. The woman described in the verses that conclude chapter 2, for her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That passage in chapter 3. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, verse 23, and thy foot shall not stumble. While in chapter 4, verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. But the path of the just, verse 18, is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Here we have presented to us time and time again, and it will recur throughout the book of the Proverbs, this question of a walk. A walk. And we know at a very practical level what a walk means. There is going to be involved a origin and a destination. We are going in a particular direction. Our carriage of ourselves is going to be of a particular kind. We are on a particular route bound for a particular place. And the way in which we are walking and the direction in which we are going is immediately obvious and manifest to those who are around us. There is within our minds a particular map, a particular destination in view, and we are walking accordingly. Well, my friends, let us make the spiritual parallel which is drawn for us by these analogies in the book of Proverbs. Everyone in all humanity, male and female, young and old, is upon a path, is making a particular journey. They had a starting point, and there is a destination in view, and they are walking accordingly. According to that principle, to that thought, to that root which is in their mind, so they walk. And they will ultimately arrive at their destination. Again, the New Testament and the Gospel has the equivalent, the corresponding truth. How that narrow is the way and straight is the gate that leadeth unto life eternal, and few there be that find it. But broad indeed is that road which leadeth unto destruction. Many there are that go in thereat. The very different ways of those within whose hearts and minds is spiritual wisdom, and those with whom there is an absence of that wisdom and instead folly. They are going in very different ways, with very different walks, to very different destinations. But just as a particular thought in the mind, a destination in view, affects the way in which a person walks and the direction in which they go, so in like manner, wisdom, spiritual wisdom, causes a person to walk in one way, spiritual folly causes a person to walk in another. And yet, as these passages from the Proverbs further show us, very often these paths, at least for a season, seem to run parallel or go closely alongside one another to such an extent that those who are on that narrow way which leadeth unto life might be inclined to make a change and to walk in the other road. Did you notice, for example, how in chapter 4 the exhortation made is this: enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Here is a surprising truth. It is repeated there in chapter 3 at verse 31. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. Whilst there are these two very different ways or routes or courses in life, yet, alas, it is often the course or the experience of the people of God to be tempted or led astray or inclined to go in the other way, or at least for a season to walk on that other route, which belongeth to the wicked and to the foolish. My son, said the writer in chapter 1, verse 10, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us. Come with us. Oh, how often is that call, is that cry of the world found to be ringing in the ears of the saints? Sinners entice thee. And we say, well, surely we are impervious to these things. We read the descriptions there in chapter 1, the terrible things which the wicked are plotting. Surely we will not be enticed by such things as these, will we? Oh, my friends, what things the wicked often seem to have. Verse 13, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. This they plan. This they often achieve. Similarly, we read in chapter 4 of the wicked and that which they did. And we learn in verse 17 of chapter 4 that they eat bread, that they drink wine. So very often, the wicked seem to do very well for themselves. And the child of God is caused to envy the oppressor, and perhaps is inclined to choose some of his ways. The book of Proverbs, as we are looking at these fundamental principles, shows us how that wisdom or folly in the heart is manifested in conduct. How there are two very different directions in which all humanity is going: the way of the just and the way of the wicked. And then, coupled with these fundamental principles, is this further one: that we, by grace, possessed of spiritual wisdom, are prone to temptation, and oft times to desire the way of the wicked. The book of Proverbs, then, is here to help us. is here to teach us wisdom and to teach us to walk in the way of wisdom and to resist any temptation or inclination to go in any other direction. And one of the ways in which it accomplishes that purpose is to show us the end from the beginning, to warn us of what lies at the conclusion of the path of the wicked, which sometimes seems so desirable. The wicked, chapter 2, verse 22, shall be cut off from the earth. The transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. This is the lot and portion of the wicked. This is the terrible destination to which their sometimes pleasing way will ultimately lead. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. But the path of the wise, though sometimes an arduous path, a difficult route, a stony and uphill struggle, leads a different way. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The end must be kept in view. The destination, rather than the path that leads there, should be at the forefront of our minds. This the book of Proverbs will teach us. This the book of Proverbs will impress upon our hearts. Keep wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous, for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Oh, my friends, this way, though difficult, though arduous on times, leads in that direction, to that land which we shall dwell in and inherit eternally. A heavenly destination. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. May the Lord then help us and teach us to walk therein. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let us sing together in the hymn 624, which sets to verse a not dissimilar passage from the first psalm. Blessed is he who loves God's precepts, who from sin restrains his feet, he who will not stand with sinners, he who shuns the scorner's seat. Number 624.
Sin restrains his feet.
Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. Amen.
Amen.